And welcome back to a regular episode of Grey's Academy. We've missed you all so much. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen. And it's a beautiful night for a podcast. I don't miss any of you because
I was here yesterday. I was here more recently.
I'm in the same. Okay. Okay.
So, gosh. We've missed you because we, like, as a unit, have missed this.
Yeah.
We did forget how to do a podcast, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, and I feel like I need a disclaimer because if you don't want banter, skip to like the next episode, I guess. Skip to next week. There's so much going on.
So much to discuss.
There's shout outs abound. There's Pokemon cards to be ripped and drawn live on air. There's news that we get to hear from Kelsey to hear how things went, to see what life is like. Let's start with that. Like, you've been gone for 2 weeks. We missed you so much. Shout out to all of our friends who were a part of the journey while you were gone. But
yes.
Dude, how were things? I've not talked to you for 2 weeks, basically.
Nope. We only speak when we do this.
Yeah. Always be content.
Colorado was fun. I did do a wee update on the one you weren't allowed to listen to. But Colorado was fun. The bigger kids skied. We had mostly good weather. And then they all three did very well on the flights, which was like a huge concern. But they did really well. And then we came back and then I was here for like 36 hours and then I left again. And now I get to be back again and it's nice to be home and I've been doing adult things and like I'm just like I don't know how people do corporate America because I'd be doing these meetings and these emails and these calls and I'm just like ugh. Although
meetings about meetings and meetings about calls. Calls
a lot
about
of them
meetings.
Are fun though because at the end of the day a lot of my meetings and calls are about weddings, which is essentially just like parties, which is fun, but some of them have more recently been about like not fun administrative things, which like that's where I'm like ugh, I don't care. But the things about weddings are fun, so
yeah.
Got a couple coming up.
How was the altitude in Colorado?
It was rough.
Yeah.
So we took the Owlet, which for those of you who do not have children is like this monitor that you put on your kid's foot and it monitors their heart rate and their oxygen levels. So it was designed to like help prevent SIDS deaths. So it will alert you if oxygen levels are at a, like go under 80. And, if heart rates get too high or too low, some doctors hate them. Some doctors love them, whatever. We've used it for all of them because I have raging anxiety. So we obviously took that with us, especially with Wyatt just getting RSV over RSV at that point in time. We had that on her the first night and it is like going crazy and it's not doing like the, oh, it's hard to get a reading. It's like a red alert.
This
shit
person
is fan.
Dying.
Like the baby has no air. And so we're like, okay, is this from the illness? Is this like what's going on? So I'm on the Owlet website and literally on their website, it says, in some locations, like Colorado, you may experience low oxygen readings because of altitude. Like especially if you're not from there. Like babies who live there, obviously, are in a different like situation.
Yeah, they're like Bane, born in the darkness of Colorado.
I'm currently like, I don't know, at sea level, basically. And that was 10,000 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm, where we were
staying.
Yep.
So it was an adjustment, but ultimately, like, everything was fine. No one got sick or anything from that. And everyone had a really good time.
I was actually talking to my boss about Colorado today because there's a chance that Steve and Kristen get married in Colorado.
Oh, where and in there's Colorado?
No idea. Okay. He asked the same question. I don't have an answer.
You'll just be the best man. That's fine.
Closer to the C, less to the O. I don't know.
What would you do if he didn't ask you to be his best man?
I am the best man, but if he didn't, I would not go to the wedding. And I don't feel bad. If he came out of nowhere and erased 20 years.
Does he have a brother?
He has two brothers.
And I won't ask.
No,
you don't think it lasts.
My brother was also not my best man. My brother was, he was my number two.
Your brother, there's such an age gap, I feel. Like, you're not that close.
We're 7 years apart? 7 or 8 years apart?
Yeah.
But either way, so, but he was saying that if you drive, like, it's a long drive, but you adjust more gradually that than flying in, and just like all of a sudden, boom, you're just plopped.
Especially going, like, when you fly, your head is already all messed up from being in a metal tube in the sky for a large portion of the day.
Well, I'm so glad to have you back. I'm glad the kids had fun. I know nothing about skiing. All I know is
I also don't really. It's I know it's not for me. That's what I know about skiing.
I'd be the person who would like have a cup of hot cocoa and dressed up in my clothes and my I fuck with ski goggles for sure.
Oh my god, yeah, the pictures of the kids in them, hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely, so cool. Well, yeah, awesome, love it, glad to have you back. Do you have any shout outs before I have shout outs?
We actually have two Patreon people that I don't think have gotten shout outs yet.
Oh,
because of the nature of when they joined us. Helen, did we do Helen?
Helen! I don't know. I don't
Helen,
think so.
Welcome. And Babette.
Babette?
So, yay, Helen and Babette.
Am I asking? That's how it's Babette? Can you spell it for me?
Babette.
Babette.
You don't know the name Babette?
No.
Okay. It's a name. It's not uncommon.
Babette. Babette. And Helen. How the Helen did they come up with the
Falling
name Babette?
For Helen and the there's no telling just how far. It's from Bob's Burgers.
I love it. Helen and Babette, welcome. It is such a joy to have you here, and it's so good to be physically inside of your ears right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have a large number. I have a swath of shout outs, including, I think, 3 new Apple Podcast reviews. Yeah. But let me start by saying, so I want to shout out our friend Jennifer, Jennifer S., who, after the Ask Carmen Anything episode, reached out and said that they have marble slab ice cream in Canada. And that was something that Katie had called out. So she wanted me to make sure that we talked about that. Jennifer, huge shout out. Thank you so much for being incredible.
Do you have marble slab?
I don't know if I'd never heard of it. We got Cold Stone.
It's very similar. We used to, marble slabs were way more prevalent
because
at
they
some
do
point
their ice cream on
marble
a marble
slab.
Oh.
On a cold stone.
On a cold stone. Fuck.
Is it all coming together for you?
Yes. Man, this is why you can't leave again. I don't have epiphanies when you're out of state.
His IQ is dropping rapidly when I'm gone.
As quickly as you drop from the peak of a mountaintop on a plane back to Chattanooga.
10,000 feet of IQ.
Man, what a drop. That's so funny.
anyways, okay.
Yeah. So anyways, Marble Slab, so shout out. Also wanted to shout out our friend Karandeep, who got to have one of his questions answered, and also just in general, love getting to see all the updates and all the reels that you get to send me. I do see them all. I really appreciate it. Let's see. Christian said something typical. Oh, yeah. So Christian saw that we had. Did you see the picture of Marlo with the Vaporeon and Pikachu balloon art? This person took a picture of a Vaporeon and said, okay, I'll make you it. And I said, great, now I need to fucking tip you. Thanks for that, asshole. Wanted to shout out dear friend Sage, who reached out getting caught up for the first time. And our Mr. Holland's Opus randomly gets quite a few messages where they're like, I just heard this call out, Mr. Holland's Opus. Yeah, so definitely do that. Also, Brianna, I have not watched Cougar Town, but I do need to watch that. So shout out to you. Shout out to our friend Charlie from Sweden. Here's your official shout out. Love getting to chat with you. And I thought there was one more. I think that might be it, actually. And then we have a couple of Apple Podcast reviews. So let me just go to our thing here. And there's a couple things that are connected here. So I've got one two, three. So this one here is a 5-star from Natalie Manda. 5 stars says, love this podcast. Just started listening and it's quickly become one of my favorite podcasts. I love listening to Carmen's reactions and predictions. Thank you, Natalie. And that one I think was like done like right before you had left. So that one just kind of snuck in a little bit and I was waiting for you to get back.
Thank you so much.
Yes. This one is from a couple days ago. 5-star. Love this pod. P Patel 77. I came across this podcast a few months ago and I'm glad I did. Listening to Carmen talk about the show sometime. Show reminds me of the first time I watched Grey's and all the feelings and emotions I had. I still can't believe how accurate some of his predictions are, but it's been great listening to his thoughts. Kelsey, I'm glad you convinced Carmen to do this podcast because it has become one of my favorites. Oh, and others may hate the side conversations, but I love it. Fuck yeah, P Patel 77. I love it because it truly makes me feel like I'm in the room talking / listening to you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And we intend to. And this is a long one. And this is from our dear friend, Maddie Kuwata.
Oh, yay, Maddie.
It is 5 stars, and it is the best podcast any Grey's fan could ask for, is the title. Now, I want to preface this. I read this in the post office because I had to pick up a package from one of our cult classic heroes, Joe from Orlando, fan favorite, which we will be opening very shortly. I held on to these to open with you and so that Joe could get the full glory of me opening these cards. But I'm at the post office and I start to cry a little bit, tearing up listening, like reading this. So the best podcast any Grey's fan could ask for. After listening to this pod for several years now, this review is long overdue. I've been a longtime Grey's fan and I've always wished I could have convinced more of my friends to watch the series to relive the show with them and get their reactions. This podcast does exactly that and then some, creating a unique outlet for Grey's fans to delve deeply into the stories and characters we love so dearly. This isn't just a podcast, but truly a community, with the Patreon Discord allowing for listeners to engage with the hosts and other listeners. There's no greater joy than listening to a new Grey's watcher, Carmen, give all his reactions and crazy predictions, while also acknowledging my personal questions and comments in the Discord. This pod has made me look at these stories and characters in different ways and has made me love this show even more, which I didn't think was possible. Their Discord is a non-judgmental safe space to discuss all your Grey's thoughts and just geek out with fellow fans, allowing for conversations with Carmen on where he's at in the show, but also in a spoiler-free, spoiler-safe conversations to discuss the current episodes. As someone who's looked for deep dive podcasts like this for every show I watch, this one takes the cake as the most engaging, enjoyable, and committed of any podcast I've listened to. Beyond the amazing community they build, Carmen and Kelsey put so much thought into their discussions of these stories and characters, which a lot of other podcasts I feel only touch on the episodes at a very surface level. 2 hours every week devoted to a discussion of a single episode is so amazing and provides such enjoyable, thought-provoking content. New episodes of this podcast are always the highlight of my week, and I always find myself bummed when I run out of a backlog of episodes to binge. I am so happy to have this podcast as a way to continue to enjoy and consume new Grey's content. I definitely recommend that any Grey's fan not only give this podcast a listen, but experience the community these hosts have created and join the Patreon/Discord. Thank you, Kelsey and Carmen, for so many hours of amazing content and engaging with us in all our Grey's love. Signed, the president of your Teddy Altman fan club, Maddie. That one got me.
That's so sweet. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like getting goosebumps reading this, but I was for sure getting emotional at the post office. And then I started getting mad because I was like, damn it, Joe, why did you force me to go to the post office to read this in public? And now I'm crying. And then I messaged Maddie. So thank you so much. That means a lot. Fuck.
We like to do it. We're goobers, but like that's what we're trying to do at the end of the day. Yes. Is like have goob around, but also like make a community out of it.
Yeah, goob around and find out, you know. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
Put that on a bumper sticker right next to horses of the helicopters or horses of the sky, you know, like fuck. Okay, so without, if you have not done a 5-star review, do a 5-star review. We will read it live on air. If you are on Spotify or wherever you listen, do the reviews, do the shit, do the following. We might not see it, but we still love it. So I've got some packs here of Pokemon cards. I'm going to open them both because Joe sent them to me. I need you to pick which one I'm going to do first. Left or right?
Left.
Left. Awesome. I'm just going to do this
really quick. Shout out Joe, who messaged me and was like, I found some Pokemon cards. I don't know if it's good or if it's what Carmen's looking for, but I want to send it to him. And I said, you are too sweet. And I did give him Carmen's address because I was pretty confident that he wasn't going to stalk him.
Yeah.
And if he does, well, I know who he is, so I can stalk him right back.
That's all right. So I'm looking at this here. And so these are what it's worth. They are the repacked cards. So there's probably not anything super, super good in here, but it is fun. Like, I'm looking at it here. I'm trying to see if there's this one's cute. This guy's a little wigglet. Just a little.
The worm.
The worm guy. But there's like a bird. Worm. This guy's a little, it's called Smoliv. He's a little fucking olive.
Oh my God. That is the cutest thing I've ever seen. And his name is Smoliv. Yeah. Sometimes they really do a poor job with the names. And sometimes they just fucking get it right. And Smoliv gets it right.
Smoliv the fucking olive. And then this is a pig called Lechonk.
Okay, first of all, it's Lechonk. That is a French chonk.
Un le chonk. Oui, oui. Amelie du fromage.
Amelie du from chonk.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And this one's just a fucking. This is a flamingo, but it's called Flamigo. Flamigo.
Flamigo.
Flamigo. Flamigo. I don't know. awesome. Let's see what this next one holds. I promise this is still a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I know. I was just thinking, remember that Spotify comment that we got that was like, why is this Grey's Anatomy podcast millennials opening Pokemon cards and why am I enjoying it?
Yeah, because it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I just dropped everything.
What's funny is on the front of this pack, this repacked thing, it's got a picture of this like $800 card. And it's like, you could draw this card or not.
So this guy, all Pokemons.
Yeah, that's fair. This is a little guy called Froakie. He's just a frog.
Oh my God. He's cute. Look at his little finger. He's like finger gunning it up.
He's like, yo, look at me. I'm a frog. Let's see. Oh, you'll like this one. It's just a fucking sloth called Slackoff.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Slackoff.
Look at his fucking booty, dude. They gave him a
those
butt.
Those sloths be having a fat ass.
ooh, you remember Jinx from the original Pokemon? Well, this is Smoochum, and Smoochum evolves into Jinx. And
Smoochum evolves into Jinx?
Yeah, it's a baby Pokemon.
Okay, she's adorable.
Yeah.
Also, Jinx is the name of my cat, but not after the Pokemon. But I do think Jinx the Pokemon is very funny.
Yeah. And then that's like all the cuties in this one here. A little bit less. This is a little guy. It's a dragon apple. It's called Applin.
that.
Just an apple with fucking eyes.
It looks like. And the apple has a bug on top of it.
Yeah, it does look like that a little bit. It looks like something you'd get from Main Street USA.
Mm.
So, but that was awesome. Joe from Orlando, thank you so, so much. I will never turn down a free pack of Pokemon cards.
Smoliv
the olive, dude.
I'm never going to get over that.
I'm going to send it to you.
I'm going to get Smoliv tattooed on me.
I think you should. And I won't.
Yeah.
I'll get a matching, not that.
Would you get a Pokemon? Would you get a Charizard? Charizard. Charmander.
Charizard. Me. Fucking assholes.
I just want to set them down and be like, has anyone gone over the concept of sales with you?
Yeah. Or like any kind of customer service at all.
But yeah, I would. Would you get a Pokemon tattoo?
Yeah, I'd fuck with. I'd fuck with a Pokemon. I'd fuck with a Charizard tattoo.
Yeah. Well, you should get. You should get Marlo to draw a Pokemon, and then you should get her drawing of it tattooed on you.
Okay, that's actually a fucking genius idea, and I
know
it.
That's why I said it.
Yeah, I would do that. I love it. I'm doing it.
Yeah, ask her to draw her favorite, and then ask her to draw your favorite, and then pick between the two which one's a better drawing, or have them both done.
Find a way to make them battle.
That would be so funny.
It's just a whole back tattoo of Marlo's terrible toddler drawing.
I'm sure you wouldn't be the only one.
Okay. That would hurt so much. I have such a low pain threshold.
Yeah,
that
that's my only thing about a tattoo for you is I don't think you could handle it.
No, it would have to be very small.
Or you could just find like a really cushiony area.
Like I don't, I'm trying to think of a joke. There's no joke I can make.
I know you're fat sloth ass.
Hey, you're being a bit too aggressive for me right now, okay?
Interesting. I'm not taking feedback right now.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck. Okay, sorry. Leah,
and that's a wrap.
This morning messaged me and was like, when you do episodes by yourself, you're so calm. It's like listening to NPR. And I was like, yeah, Carmen isn't there to fill me with rage. No, I mean, some of it is that, but I feel like we just met. I match your energy and you're just a high energy person. And when it's just me, I'm like, yeah, so, you know, we got some Grey's Anatomy news this week. We're getting season 23. And I just do that for 20 minutes. So it's definitely probably jarring from what people are used to when it's the two of us.
And what's funny is, like, I think both on the episode doing the rewatch with our friends and the Q&A, I was just like, what's up? Hi.
Yeah.
Podcast. Yeah.
The opposite of NPR.
Yeah. I feel like I would also be like that on a solo. I'd be like, in today's episode, welcome to Grey's Anatomy. Meh.
Here's what I remember about the episodes that I've watched before. Nothing. That's you.
And if you see me walking down the street, no spoilies. We'll see you all in the next one.
That was nice.
Thank you.
Okay, should we talk about it though, actually?
Yes, but also really quick, I emailed my company to ask if they would let me do the voiceover of all trainings moving forward, and they have not responded to me yet.
I told Jessica that I was going to start anonymously emailing Veg that I want them to build a Veg here in Chattanooga so that you guys can move here.
Okay. Don't do it anonymously, though. Put your name to it.
Well, if I put my name to it, I can only do, they'll only acknowledge it if it's one. I got to just like start making fake emails, basically.
Yeah.
So I can send them like 100, be like, we really need you guys down here. There's not one. The closest one is like just under 2 hours away.
There's Franklin and Nashville.
Yeah. So, well, there's one just north of Atlanta, which is like just under 2 hours away. And then just south of Nashville, which is just
that,
under 2 hours away. Franklin is just south of Nashville, and Marietta.
Yeah. I know Marietta.
Just north of Atlanta. Yeah.
They've also got one in Snellville, I think, which is, pretty close, I guess. I don't know. I've only been to Atlanta that two times. Two times.
You would thrive in Nashville more than Atlanta, in my opinion. You, your family, the royal you.
The
not
royal
you specifically.
You.
I mean, you also, I think, would prefer Nashville to Atlanta. Okay. Grey's Anatomy, 23 minutes in. Let's do it.
I'm not even going to put a disclaimer. I gave the warning at the top of the episode. They can do with that what they wish.
Yeah. Okay. This is the 13th episode of the 10th season. It is episode 209 overall. It is called Take It Back. And that is a song.
Take It Back is a song by the, quoting Wikipedia on this, English progressive rock band, Pink Floyd. This is the seventh song off of their 14th album, and the album is titled The Division Bell from 1994, and this was actually released in the UK as a single on May 23rd, 1994. So, what's interesting about this, I didn't realize that they had gone 7 years without creating a new album, and this is like the one that kind of came out, this single peaked at number 23 on the UK singles charts, and it did pretty well. I am going to go ahead and pull up the charts here. So the song, it reached top 100 in these following countries. So Australia, Belgium, Canada reached top 10. It hit number 8. France, Germany, Iceland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, the UK, the US hit number 73 on the US Billboard Hot 100, number 4 in the US Mainstream Rock, and number 65 on the US Cashbox Top 100. And it ended the year number 71 in Canada and number 23 in the United States. This song, I actually listened to it live with Kelsey watching me and listening to me listening to the song.
We were bopping.
We were bopping. So here's the thing. This song, downloaded, added to the iTunes library. I was not expecting this to be a song that came in and just fucking slapped, but it did. It had some dotted eighth note guitar. It had some kind of cool swells to it. It had some builds. The vocals sounded cool. The lyrics, I don't even know what it was about because I was just bobbing along. So yeah, this song, crazy. Number 5 out of 5. It's a perfect score. Add it to the iTunes library. With
yeah,
that.
Pink Floyd is Pink Floyd for a reason, you know?
Yeah. I always thought they were more of a Magenta Floyd, but that's just me. That's just me. So Grey's Anatomy. Guys, this episode fucking fucked, dude. Man.
It did.
I texted
Kelsey.
Yeah,
you texted me, wow, and I was like, I don't know what this means.
Yeah, what did you say back? Like, you gave me the Owen Wilson meme.
Well, because I sent you the episode that I had recorded on my own feed to post, and then you were like, wow, and I was like, I don't know. Wow, it was 20 minutes. Like, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Let's get into part of this first. Okay. This episode was written by Austin Guzman and directed by Rob Korn. It aired February 27th, 2014 to 9.42 million views. So definitely some people were like, oh, shit went down. We gotta
see what's going on here.
See what the fuck is happening with these motherfuckers.
Yep.
Okay. The Netflix synopsis is relationships are topsy-turvy at the hospital as Arizona and Callie reconcile. Derek breaks a promise to Meredith and Alex says goodbye to his father. Mm. Honestly, a little spoilery, but most part, really good. And I love the genuine use of topsy-turvy. Like, we're not going to use this in a joking way. We're just going to use this as a descriptive term.
Yeah, it's great. That's one of those phrases that you're like, okay, do we really need to use topsy-turvy? This was 10 out of 10. Perfect. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't read that. Although, let me just tell you all, I think I had almost fallen victim to Netflix playing a current clip. It didn't seem... I don't know. It maybe it wasn't the episode that I was on. I don't know if it was the episode of what it was in, but... It was an episode with Meredith and Bailey, and I didn't recognize the scene, and Bailey had a new hairdo, and I was like, okay, not for me. Need to keep moving. So anyways, if Netflix is playing current shit, I don't know, but I'm just trying to be careful on it.
Someone sent, you can go in to your settings and turn off like the auto previews.
Okay, I'll have to do that.
Someone sent the instructions on on Patreon, I think, on Discord. But yes, we'll have to make sure you get that. Because, yeah, I'm not sure, right? They do change it, like, every 4 days they're changing the preview they're playing. I'm like, why?
Yeah. There was
for
one
reason
that had
you
George
trying to play
in it the
entire
other day?
Series just on your previews?
Just in the hey, listen, crazier things have been done. Crazier people have been elected into pub. Never mind. So this episode was crazy. Glad I didn't read the synopsis because the spoiler of Jimmy dying and then, I mean, they really opened that episode thinking that Arizona and Callie are done.
Yeah.
it's just so much. Can you just give us a quick
okay.
like summation recap before we jump into everything? So and there's going to be a reaction video for this, everyone. Yes,
this is the first episode post-wedding. This is the first episode post-Jackson standing up at April's wedding and saying, I love you. Do you love me too? So it starts with the immediate aftermath, right? Jackson and April are running away. The bridesmaids are trying to deal with the reality of, like, an abandoned wedding. Derek got a call from the president. All this shit's, like, happening. You know, Shane is passed out. And the first 6 minutes of this episode are actually insane. Because it is the immediate aftermath of the wedding.
Well, the first minute, I thought was a dream sequence. I didn't think it was real. Because when they're just running out of the wedding and I think the monologue is happening, I'm like, this isn't real.
And they're playing Turn Around, Bright Eyes. This is the start of one of my favorite eras on Grey's Anatomy, which is where they start taking songs from like 70s, 80s, 90s and doing modern day covers of them. And I fucking love it. This is a trend that will continue on for a few seasons, and it's dope as hell. I love shit like that.
Good for me. Love it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. So,
So Shane's covered in his blood, just laying on the fucking bench.
No one can find him. He's passed out outside of the hospital. They're like, Alex, Joe are talking to Owen and Richard and like freaking out about the Jimmy situation. Richard is like, Shane was hallucinating. Alex is like, oh, well, he's fucking Christina. So, like, so much is happening. I feel for Alex in this episode. I do have to say it's not a good episode for him, but he has my empathy. Like, I understand why he's in this place, but it's ultimately, like, bad choices are made. Also, horrible episode for Owen. Unsurprising. But
yeah,
really
not surprised
bad
at
episode
all.
For
yeah.
Owen. Like, I'm not going to take Shane's side. I'm not here to defend Shane. I think that Owen, as a professional, is doing a bad job.
Agreed. Agreed. And I'd like to start this episode off with an official prediction. Mm-hmm. In two episodes. No. Next episode. Owen will get punched in the face by Sir Richard the President Weber.
Yeah, I appreciate Richard like trying to call him out. Anyways, so all this stuff happens. It's immediate aftermath of the evening of the wedding, 6 minutes, and then title card, and then 3 weeks later.
Which I hated. I hated that. Fucking
you wanted the in-between.
Rage. I wanted everything.
Yeah.
Give me every single day for 3 weeks.
Yes. See, this is why you need to watch The Pit. You'd like The Pit because it's a 12-hour shift and each episode is an hour of the shift.
I can't.
So you're not missing anything.
I can't do anything until I watch at least one episode of Private Practice.
If you watch any other episodes of television, you just can't say it on the podcast.
Well, let me just say, I'm actually 3 episodes behind on Scrubs. So that's how you know I've been busy. 3 weeks behind on Scrubs.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they cut to 3 weeks and it's more current in the hospital. Shane basically like there was a vote and the board said he could come back. Owen made it clear that he didn't agree with that. Unprofessional. Then Arizona and Callie are buying a house, even though they were breaking up 5 minutes ago.
Apparently someone was murdered in that house. It's unclear.
They spend the whole episode being like, April and Jackson aren't together. They are not talking to each other, all this stuff. And then, oh, at the end of the episode, she's got a ring. Oh, they got married.
Yeah, just married.
So I just give me like, without getting too into it, just like a macro sense of the emotional roller coaster that you took in this episode.
For those of you out there who have ridden the Velocicoaster. This episode was the Velocicoaster.
Yeah.
Again, I started this episode thinking it was a dream sequence. It was not. I started this episode thinking Arizona and Callie were getting a divorce. They did not. I started this episode with Shane horizontal to the ground on a bench. Now he's perpendicular standing straight up.
And you thought Jimmy was going to be dead.
Thought Jimmy was going to be dead, and now he's alive, and now he's dead again. And then, you know, Alex punched Shane a lot, and then Christina told Shane, kind of had a good moment there. Meredith and Christina are back. Meredith and Derek are there. You know, Christina and Meredith are in. Derek and Meredith are out.
Meredith can only have one good thing at a time.
It's true. No kids in this episode, though. We don't see a shred of children.
Not a shred of child.
Ben is a surgical intern in the hospital now. Yeah. There, you know, Owen's a piece of shit, unsurprising. There's the Big Dogs Club, which I love. And yeah, it's just like there's a lot of things. The roller coaster of emotion never stopped. And truly the point where it's the opening scene and then they're like, yeah, Jackson and April aren't talking. And then the end scene where they're like, yeah, we're fucking married. And then it has the cutback. Like there's so many things happening. I feel like the best way I can describe it is we need a break for capitalism. So we'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. I hope that my feelings have been surmised by the majesty of a Buc-ee's commercial.
Oh man, I love Buc-ee's.
So yeah, that's my feelings. Those are all of my feelings. Velocicoaster. If you've not ridden it, go ride it, and then you'll know where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Okay, so
wait, one last thing. At no point in this episode did I know what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
At no point was I was like, oh, okay, this is about to happen. Not a singular point.
So not here's once. Something that I've wanted to say for a long time, and I've waited until the right moment because it felt like a spoiler to say it before now. I don't like J'April. J'April is the term for Jackson and April.
J'April.
I am not a J'April stan. I don't like it. It's not for me. I don't love it. I have a lot of issues with it. And that's why I don't have, like, I'll say this episode was great, but I don't think I've watched it as many times because, like, as I was watching it, I was like, dang, I really don't remember a lot of this happening. And I think ultimately I just kind of maybe, like, don't pay a lot of attention or, like, kind of skate through it because I don't care for the wedding interruption and I don't care for that ending happily for them. I don't like that.
I do. I'm a bigger J'April fan than I am a Maple fan, you know?
Well, for sure. Like, I do understand that. I'm not attached enough, I feel like, to April to like feel strongly enough about her one way or another with anybody. But yeah, it's just not for me. I'm not a J'April. I'm not a J'April stan. So
what do the kids say? I'm shipping them.
Yeah, it's like it's, you know, it's been back and forth for so long. So I'm glad that we've reached this point and now I can share that's how I feel because it's just not. Someone commented on the reel of you watching the wedding for the first time and was like, this is my favorite moment of the show. And I'm like, that's insane. That's an insane take.
I love it. I should go back and I should comment on it. That's
you shouldn't.
Awesome. Oh, okay. I did almost see that spoily comment today and I had to delete it right away. So yeah.
Why are you getting those directly?
I don't know. I don't know why I'm getting them. I got to turn my notifications off.
Yeah, you should.
Because I go into the app for the statistics. I go in for the stats.
Because
I like data. I like analytics. Blech. You know, I put the anal in analytics.
Okay. I'll let your wife know.
Buttholes are exits only, folks. Poop comes out, nothing goes
do
in.
Do not yuck people's yum.
Okay,
for
listen.
For you. That's the case for you.
My butthole and Jessica's butthole and I'm hopeful my daughter's butthole.
No, you don't get to dictate your daughter's sexual preferences.
All right.
There's nothing wrong with people who like that.
You know.
Don't kink shame.
I was going to make a joke, but I think it was going to go too far.
It already is.
It's already too far. Okay, no kink shaming, but my butthole is an exit only.
Anyways. How did we get here?
I don't know. But my pee is not going in any BHs either.
Okay. So, J-April. Not a fan.
Big
so,
fan.
So, did you, for most of the episode, just think, okay, they ran out on the wedding and then broke up?
I spent the entire episode thinking, all right, so fucking what? Like, everyone's unhappy. At one point, I think someone said, everyone's alone. What was it all for? And I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they had broken up, but maybe it was like a, hey, this is crazy. We need to like give ourselves a couple of weeks and like revisit this when our emotions are down. That's kind of what I thought was like best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm listening to this or I'm watching it rather, and the end scene comes back, I'm thinking to myself, like, fuck, that's, yes, absolutely. This is better than I could have imagined. This is amazing. This is what I wanted.
Right.
I'm very happy.
This is the payoff.
This is the payoff. Because I think I even said, like, bro, if you don't get married, you're fucking everyone's life up. This is the worst. Steph is pissed. Matthew's pissed. Then April would be pissed. Like, no one comes out happy if this doesn't end up the way this ends up. And I'm glad it ends up the way it ends up. I will say it makes no sense what's going to happen with the board of directors and the HR thing, because I think technically April or Jackson is April's boss because he's one of the board directors, but are they on the same level for points of the hospital? Like, I don't really know exactly where all of that lies, but they're married, so I guess it doesn't really matter too fucking much. Let's see if there's anything
big
else.
Big day for us at the podcast.
Big day for big HR day everywhere,
because
folks.
Because now there's HR in the hospital.
I need to know, anyone who's worked a job before, ever, and you know what? Actually, that's not fair. You and I are business owners. Maybe this should be as part of our code of conduct. Maybe we should have a zero tolerance policy for dating people in our company.
We should have that. I think we do have that.
Yeah. How there's not a zero tolerance policy for one of, quote unquote, the top three hospitals of all fucking time at one point? What?
Or just like, it doesn't even have to be a zero tolerance policy, but like a policy.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking for.
We need less tolerance. Less tolerance overall.
Some clarity. Some level of rule. Because you have this hierarchy. This hierarchy exists, and obviously, like, there are bosses and direct reports. These things exist, and I feel like any company where you have that, there needs to be some sort of established set of rules.
And protections for people.
Yes. And it is... This is a fictional show. We know that. Okay?
What?
We understand that it's not real. We obviously are going to talk about this at length. We have talked about it at length. The reality of these things happening in the real world would be different than like the fact that it happens in the vacuum of the show. Like, obviously there are implications in the real world that like would be way more damning. So I just want to say, like, anything we say about it, it is fiction. We are of the standpoint that like, when you get into power dynamics in a workplace, there really can't be like clear and true consent. And if someone has power over someone else, that is a power dynamic that is being abused. Even if they say like this is a consensual relationship, I personally do not think that can truly exist in a position where someone holds like real authority and power over someone else. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. I agree.
Because the person, the direct report can say, yeah, it's consensual. I said yes the whole time. But there's no way to know that there wasn't a spot in the back of their mind going, well, if I say no, like I could lose my job. I could lose opportunities. There could be retaliation, blah, 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 whatever. So that's our stance in life.
Yep.
We're saying that now so it's clear and not muddy when we get into the fictional lives of these people who already have established relationships, who have relationships we're supposed to be rooting for. So when it gets muddy, like when it comes to that aspect, like that's our stance in the real world.
Yes, correct.
It's just tricky when they're like, oh, here's this couple you're supposed to love, but like also this power dynamic is kind of fucked up. Like Alex and Joe would be an example. Like, well, I love them together. We love them together. But it's fucked up. Yeah. So, okay. Just wanted to say that now. Clearly, that's the reality of the real world versus this fictional world with the fictional people.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I think back to our time at Disney. There were leaders that would get involved with college cast members, these, you know, CPs. And I'm like, ugh, like, it's just, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Also, I think the difference here with what we see in the Grays world versus like a place where, you know, there's younger minds at play, is you have these people who are above the age of 25 and you're professionals, and there's like a development piece, both physically, mentally, and there's like this maturity piece that may exist. Maybe you can make an argument for it in some capacity, where I think like the Shane and Christina one is really fucked up, right? Because he's directly on her service. Joe, I feel like, mostly is off of Alex's service, still fucked up, still a power dynamic. Yeah. Then there's like the Leah in Arizona one.
Yeah.
That one was really fucked up. It was for sure taking advantage. Yeah, I just... Also, with those relationships, it was like those two are both very sexual in nature specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Joe and Alex had a lot of kind of back and forth, and they were like a deep friends before. I think there's a little bit of a leniency that in my mind I could rationalize. Still, HR should be involved. There should be a disclosure or a signing of papers. I know that some places have it. What's it called? There's one company I work for called it the Cupid policy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, or the Cupid contract, you'd have to sign, both parties would sign, and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, there was an episode too, a long time ago, where they had to like tell the hospital, all the people at the hospital that they had sex with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to be HR. And I was like, well, this is an HR violation.
Yeah. That you can't, it's HR, you can't ask saying, people that. Let's,
you can't
violate
ask
our own
people
rules.
That question.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's just wild. So essentially, like, Steph is upset, rightfully so, about everything that happened. And Leah comes to her and she's like, I'm mad about my life, so I'm going to make you be mad about yours. And I do agree with Leah. Steph should not leave. She should not have to sacrifice her education and the fact that she's gotten into this like very prestigious program, you know, number 12 or whatever number it is right now. It's still supposed to be like one of the top in the country. And that would be a negative impact on her life, her education, her career. And she shouldn't do that. But
correct.
The Leah's in the corner, like, the way that it just, like, the motivation Leah's giving feels so, like, selfish.
Well, what I'm thinking is Leah is saying all the things that she's too scared to do to convince Steph to do
right.
it.
Yeah.
But that's why, actually, I think that the plot twist is that Leah's the one who submitted the HR claim.
Mm-hmm. And she does say, she's like, it's me, it's Shane, it's you. So, like, she is, like, listing, like, and obviously, like, I would agree with you to the fact that, like, Leah and Shane are for sure the, I don't want to say worst, but, like, the worst offenses, essentially, because it's so, like, just sexually motivated.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't love it. Obviously,
yeah, like,
to Steph, your point,
and
like,
Joe both
Steph
were in relationships.
Joe, yeah, that's, it is an established relationship. Again, there is still like, it's muddy still, but like, yes, Leah is angry. And I understand her anger. And honestly, I don't fault her for it. I do think that she's gotten like less weird about it. I think the most likable she's been in an episode.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm like all for, she's girls girling it out, going after Jackson like that. Like, I'm here for it. Like, yes, call him out.
It is interesting because I felt leading up to this, they had painted Joe and Steph as kind of the closer friends. Yeah,
for sure.
And they really made Leah like her go-to best friend hype girl in this, which it's fine. Like, they have to include Leah somehow in this, you know? But I definitely, yeah, I'm with them. This should have happened season one.
Like, could have maybe gone down this road before.
They could have done something. When George and Callie got together, were they at the same level, or was George still an intern? So George was
an intern and Callie was a resident because she got made chief resident.
That's right. That's right. And technically, Bailey is now in a married but a power dynamic.
Yeah.
Very unique situation again.
Meredith and Derek, obviously married. Yep. Miranda and Ben married. Jackson and April married. Callie and Arizona are on the same level. They're the only one that's on the same level.
That's wild.
Obviously, like, they really never got into Mark and Lexi. That was an issue.
They died. Christina before and Owen would have been
an issue. I mean, I guess not when they were married. Well, issue for a different reason.
Yeah, not something HR. I said Mark and Lexi died before this was a problem.
It's true. Yeah, they didn't have to deal with the HR. They were in heaven.
Yeah, they weren't grandfathered. There's no HR in heaven
because everyone's already just following the human resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the Lord resources.
Yeah, LR.
Right. Take it up with Jeebus.
Yep. So yeah, it's all. I'm very curious to see where it goes. I don't know. It's just very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, again, I'm glad they're exploring it because at this point it has been so called out. Like, it, obviously we say it a lot, but we're not the only ones. It's on the internet. It's out there. People say the same thing. People are constantly like, where the fuck are the rules in this hospital?
They have rules for like 5 minutes when it actually is. Yeah. Is
and
needed.
Like, when Teddy was trying, when was like marrying Henry to give him insurance, they called out like the fact that everyone is in inappropriate relationships. So they are aware.
They have some meta level humor about
There's
it.
There's a little bit of self awareness.
I will say to the interesting thing with. So Jackson and Steph obviously are broken up, which makes sense.
Yes,
on a number of levels. Even leading up to April, the reveal of J-April at the end, I'm like, okay, good. Let's keep them broken up. I didn't want the easy thing for Jackson to be like, listen, I'm so sorry, I made a wrong choice. You'll never forgive me, but like, could you try? And like, I still love you and all this stuff. Like, that'd have been insane. Like, true sociopath behavior. So I'm glad they didn't go that route. But yeah, there's this lead up of the whole episode. A guy, the cat guy, is there. That's something that I don't think we talked about. But, you know, there's that interesting moment where Steph goes to him. And I think I call this out on my recording, where he goes to talk to her and she says something to the effect of, you telling me your guilt only makes you feel better, not me. Right. So I don't want
to
hear
it. We've talked about that in relation to like people coming. Like
infidelity.
Honest. Yeah. Like, coming forward with their honesty, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But I think that she's right and she has every right to say that. But I, yeah, the backlash of standing up at someone's wedding when every fucking human being you work with is there. And also you work with the person whose wedding it is and yelling at them that you love them and then running away with them.
Insane.
Yeah.
So, insane but choices. I like that she basically in that moment said, this is not about you and me. Do some fucking good. Fix this guy's face pro bono.
Yeah.
So there's some interesting things going on. What I know we only have like a couple minutes before we probably should start another episode, but where is your head at on any other directions we can go with this conversation or topics in general?
I mean, I think it's just mostly like it makes sense that finally they're addressing the elephant in the room. The horse in the hospital.
The horse in the hospital.
And it makes sense because, again, it's called out so much, and it's like the majority of the plot of the show is just that all of these people are fucking all the time at work, out of work, whatever. And it's negatively impacting their work a lot of times. So I do think what's interesting is, and I really liked this in the voiceover, Meredith, oh, let me like read it so I get it exactly correct, because I really liked this line. The problem is that the epically great decisions and the epically bad ones look exactly the same when you're making them. And I think that's so correct.
That's wild. I don't think I caught that.
Yeah, I think that's like an insane statement, but also like insane in the fact that like that's really, it's just true. Like, you're making a huge decision. You don't know how it's going to go. I mean, I guess maybe sometimes you do. But, like, for the most part, any crazy decision you make, it's going to feel the same in that moment when you're making the decision, whether it's the best decision of your life or the worst decision of your life down the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what's crazy. But I really like that they're showing, like, there are repercussions.
Absolutely. Yeah,
even if you get this, like, quote unquote, great love, like, this is everything you've ever wanted, this is a dream come true, shit's still going to go down because of it. That's, like, probably the most realistic thing that's ever happened in this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Minus Dylan exploding. That was pretty realistic.
Whoa. And then he tooted.
And then an explosive toot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting point you bring up. I hadn't thought of it, of like the good or the bad that comes out of it. But mm-hmm. let's the good is Jackson and April are together. The bad right. is and they're Steph like is fully, destroyed. Like they Steph fully is career. Committed.
They're yeah. married. And like married. We haven't even like mentioned Matthew in all of this.
Yeah. Matthew's
like, he was left at the altar. That's about as bad as it's gonna get as yeah. far as a breakup goes.
And the other paramedic was on site helping in this episode, and Matthew was nowhere to be found. Is Matthew even alive still? Did he? Did he drink
drove
himself
off a cliff and they just didn't mention it.
Yeah. Well, 3 weeks went by. Anything could have happened.
You do not like a time jump.
I don't like a time jump. I don't like the back and forth. It's too much. Give me chronological
they didn't go
order.
Too much. They've definitely done more back and forth in other episodes.
Yeah, and I hate it.
It's
too hard to
keep up with.
I
don't hate the back and forth in this one. Just because the ending, like I think it's a good payoff. I think they set it up really well, as much as I don't like this couple together. I think they set it up so well. And they really make you think like they're not together. Like all of this.
Yeah.
Like all of these lives are ruined for literally no reason. So it is like, as much as I don't like care for their relationship, at least they have one. At least there's like silver lining. These people at least get to be together.
But that's the point that I'm saying is I like yeah. that. I think they had a good representation of, okay, so one couple, two people got their fairy tale ending. They're mm-hmm. married. They got all the things that they could want. They're living in secrecy for now. You know, yeah. that's like the kind of the reveal. But also, yeah, like Steph's life and Steph's career is like kind of in the balance because it's her reputation. And I think that's an interesting call out too. The person that she was actively dating called out, like, I can't even imagine what Steph and Matthew are feeling. Because yeah. there's such a violation of trust and intimacy.
Yeah, betrayal is like not strong enough a word.
Yeah.
It's, because it's so public. That's what it is. Like, it's one thing to like be left for another human being. It's another thing to be left for a human being in front of everybody you know and love, who probably spent a lot of money for this event.
Yeah.
Mosquito.
Ooh. Buzz, buzz, sting. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. It fucking sucks. I went upstairs after this episode and I went up to Jess and I said, Jess, I just want to hold your hands and tell you something. And she's like, I hate when you do this.
Fair.
Because I usually do it after watching something emotional or experiencing some sort of... I actually usually go up to her when I watch a video about kids and I'm like, I just need to go hold our daughter. Is that okay? And I went up to her and I said, Jessica, I promise and I feel very comfortable making this promise because I don't promise a lot of things. I promise I will never at a friend's wedding stand up in the middle of the service and say, I love you, you should be with me, and run away with them and then marry them. I promise you, I will never do that to you. And she said, thank you. Can I get back to hanging curtains?
Can I go back to my task?
And she did.
Your ADD is interrupting the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know if I have any other thoughts specifically on that. I mean, I feel like we've talked a lot about nothing, but who fucking knows at this point?
Yeah, we've kind of just done a lot of macro stuff. So we'll get into the minutia around this episode in the next episode after we start with everyone's favorite segment.